Well, thank you all for coming, and we will keep a lot of people in our prayers as we study. So, we are in the book, or we're using it as a kind of a guidepost, along with Scripture, to look at faith as Tozer had studied it. And as I was reviewing some things that we've talked about, the first section that we had was about the character of God, and had interesting topics, following hard after God. What does that mean? But it, and then there were six different topics on that. But anyway, I wanted to review just a little bit because what I've discovered is that these are building on one another, and they maybe have introduced a topic in one, and it further develops it in another one. And so some of the things that I'm going to be talking about tonight have been introduced in previous times, so in previous studies. Okay. The first one evening we did, it was called Following Hard After God, and John 6:41-44 says, "Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down out of heaven.' They were saying, 'Is that not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day.'" That was I thought that was an interesting, I didn't expect that scripture that night. Because again, we are believers in Jesus Christ because God called us. He drew us. Otherwise, we would never do it on our own. Okay. And then in Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." So faith is our catalyst, is our, the faith that he has given us to believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ comes from God, and it's only through that faith in his son Jesus Christ that we can do anything that pleases God. And everything that we do that pleases him, we do it under his power, not our own. Again, it's all very humbling, actually. And that's exactly, he has to bring us to our knees. We have to come to the understanding of how wretched we are, and that we are sinners, and that we are separated from our Heavenly Father unless we believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and we praise him for that faith, okay? So we're studying faith. That's the topic is a fiery faith, a faith that is alive and working and active and all of those wonderful adjectives, okay? Then we looked at God's character. In Hebrews 11:1-5, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God." So that's one of the things. God created everything. And it's by faith that we know that. We can't prove that. There's no scientific proof. Everything scientific, nothing scientific that's ever been, found or not, has disproved it. But you can't prove it either because we're not there and we're not creating new things, you know. Only God can do that. And he created everything out of nothing. It says, they gained approval because they believed that God prepared the world by his word, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are invisible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Again, so there's, you can do better things to please God, or the things that we do under our own power do not please him. Okay. This is all, you know, getting to know who God is and what he expects of us and what we can expect of him. Okay. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. So his faith is still speaking to us, giving us an example of being obedient to what God wants to be done. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So we must think rightly of God. We must know who he is. And Psalm 9:10 says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you, For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So God will never forsake us. And again, we're going to talk a lot about his name tonight, who he is and what his name means to us. The topic of apprehending God, the great unseen reality is God, from page 39. The spiritual world is our reality, not this temporal world. Our focus is to be on God, not this material life. And that really was the focus, that God is real, even though we can't see him. And in fact, we live in a world that is invisible. I mean, in our spiritual world, we have never seen Christ, but we believe. We've never seen God. We believe that he is. So that supernatural, that invisible is our reality. And people make fun of us because of that. They want to see a God that, you know, they have a statue. That's their God. Well, what can that God do for them? Not a thing. But our God, because we believe in him, and he created us. He created everything. He didn't create this building, but all the materials that we did and the knowledge to do it, he helped create. So in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And it was in this topic that Chris first brought up the term chronic disbelief or unbelief. I can't remember. We're going to talk about that again tonight. Okay. Then the eternal continuum, and I taught on that, and that was the fact that God is outside of us. I mean, he's always existed. We have not. The world has not always existed. He made everything so that, but he was there at the beginning. He started it. He's here now, present with us today, and he's eternal. So he is, that continuum is, for him, is continuous. Now, from the moment we were created, we will live eternally, but his eternality is that circle on my thing is, yeah, that, okay. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the high and exalted one, who lives forever and always has been alive, okay, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place." And so that's where he dwells, on a high and holy place. But listen, where else he dwells? "But also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." So he lives with us. But he lives on a high and exalted place. So he's everywhere. That's our God. God has always been. He has no beginning. This truth must be believed in order to think rightly of God. Okay. He is the antecedent, because he is, we are, and everything else is. Nothing of God dies when a man of God dies. And in that chapter, Joshua had to learn this when Moses died, that God hadn't died, so he wasn't alone. God was still with him, okay? Nothing had changed about God's leading, God's promises, God's plans for his people. Just as I was, I will be, and I am. We're going to talk about the great I am tonight also. God does not leave us to dwell on this sin-cursed earth alone. We do not walk the Christian life alone. The Holy Spirit indwells us, teaching us the way. Christ is in us as Savior and Master. God the Father is with us as he is with Christ. We live in the very presence of God. Okay. Then in faith, that we have faith in the character of God. And that really was the fact that we don't have faith in faith. We have faith in the God who gives us faith. Okay. That it's God's power that we have faith in, not the power of our faith. Okay. So that was an interesting thing. John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that you may know you," that we may know you, God, "the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That is our eternal life. In 1 John 5:14-15, it says, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him." Our confidence must not be in the power of faith, but in the person and work of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember this, the human heart by nature is filled with unbelief. Unbelief, not, this was an interesting thing of this chapter. Okay. Unbelief, not disobedience, was the first sin. I never thought of it in that way before that night. Behind the act of disobedience was the sin of unbelief, not truly believing what God had said. And so then the act of the sin was to take the fruit and eat it. But the first sin was not believing what God had said. Surely won't die. Okay, so behind the act of disobedience was the sin of unbelief. We're going to talk about unbelief again tonight. Else the act of disobedience would not have taken place. We have confidence and boldness in God because of who he is, because he is God. Okay. God is easy to live with. I like that one, a nice short little chapter. God is the sum of all patience and the essence of kindly goodwill. We please him most not by frantically trying to make ourselves good, but by throwing ourselves into his arms with all our imperfections and believing that he understands everything and loves us still. Then this section that we're talking about, Chris did three titles on the journey of faith, and I'm going to do three tonight. But the fact that faith is a journey, not a destination. And in the new believers in Acts, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So they continued in that, and it wasn't, you know, they believed and then they went back to their fishing. No, they, you know, continued growing in their faith. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we, this is a journey that we're on, and it's not not just a destination, not just fire insurance to get out of hell. Okay. James 1:12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then faith is a perturbing thing, and that, it talked about the fact that faith changes us. If you have not changed, you don't have faith. The faith of Paul and Luther, the Apostle Paul and Martin Luther, it's in the chapter, was a revolutionizing thing. It upset the whole life of the individual and made him into another person altogether. It laid hold on the life and brought it under the obedience to Christ. It took up its cross and followed along after Jesus with no intention of going back. It realigned all life's actions and brought them into accord with the will of God. That's a perturbing faith, a faith that truly transforms us and changes us from who we were, rebellious sinners, to children in the family of God. True faith brings commitment. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Only God can. And Matthew 10:37 to 39, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. So true faith, as we've talked about faith in many respects, is that we give up our lives, gives our lives to Christ, and he gives us a new life. And we find our true life then. Okay. So tonight we're going to continue in the second section, the journey of faith, with the topics of a voice of faith, and we must hear worthily and laboring the obvious. Okay. For the topics of voice of faith, let's go to Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. Would you want to read it? Okay, thank you, Rita.
Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place.
Okay. So let's look at that in a little bit. Who's talking in this? Who said? Thus says the Lord. The Lord is talking. Okay. And who is he? Creator. So he's their creator, and he's talking to Jacob or Israel, and he formed him. Do not fear. So do not fear. Why do we not fear? Because he redeemed them. Okay. I called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Trials. Anything that you're difficult. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom. Egypt really paid for them. Okay, that's it. Okay. So God created Israel. He chose Israel. He redeemed Israel. He protected Israel. Okay. On page 111, Tozer says, what God has ever done for anyone, he will do for anyone else. So if he created Israel, he's created the church, he's created us as believers, okay? He chose us, we were called, okay? He called us. He has redeemed us. He protects us. All of those things. So what he's done. On page 112, he says, the voice of unbelief says, yes, I'm a believer, I believe the Bible, but I believe that he will bless at some other time, in some other place, and some other people, but not now, not here, and not us. That's not what the Bible says. The problem is we have to have faith if God is going to be doing anything for us. You have to have faith. You have to believe that he exists and that he is, what is the word? That he gives good things to the one who believe, okay, in Hebrews. I read it, but we have to have faith and believe that he is a rewarder of those who believe. Okay. On page 112, he continues, the voice of faith speaks up, but the voice of faith, and that's our topic tonight, the voice of faith, not the voice of, maybe I believe, but I don't really believe all of that, it's not for today. It's for in the past. He used to do it, and he doesn't. But the voice of faith speaks uprightly, though reverently, and says, anything God promised and did at any time in any place for anybody, God will do for us here if we will meet his conditions. I said, well, what are those conditions? So I did some looking up things. Okay. So let's go to James 1, 5 through 7. I don't think I have those on your time. Okay. James 1, 5 through 7. Do you have it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given unto him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord.
Okay.
That man, sorry, I did not emphasize that correctly.
Okay. So, obviously we don't have wisdom. So where do we go for wisdom? To God. Okay. What do we have to believe about us when we go to God? We have to believe that he will answer and he will give us the wisdom we need. We don't. And he doesn't say, I've told you that before, you should remember, that without reproach, you should have known, you've been a believer long enough to know. But in some sense, we need the wisdom, and it's really interesting. As you grow, we each grow. Well, it's just like as an infant and in the nursery, I had one little guy that was only 9 months old and he was walking, and one that was 14 and he could hardly stand up. Well, we grow a different, different ways. But the 14-year-old was talking, 14-month-old was talking, and the 9-month-old, we learn at different, and we grow, and the same way spiritually. We grow because of things that have happened in our lives, really. The trials that we've gone through, the people we are with, how much time you have to spend in God's Word. And so what I know after 30 years as a believer is different than someone who has been a believer for 6 months. Hopefully it's a lot more. But you know what? I have known people who've been believers for a long time, and they know very, they seem to not know a lot about Scripture or about God because they haven't spent the time, or they haven't been in a church that was a good teaching church, or, you know, whatever the reason. We always have, but so we can't say, well, you should have. No, God doesn't do that to us. We shouldn't do it to other people either. Okay. He gives us wisdom generously to all who, but we have to ask without doubting that, well, and sometimes we doubt because we don't like the answer.
We
don't get the answer we want.
Or when we want it.
Well, lots of reasons, but we may doubt, okay? And he doesn't. And if you, but if in your heart you truly don't believe he will answer when you're asking, he's not going to answer. You really have to believe. You have to have the faith to trust him. And your faith grows. Yeah, your faith can grow as you, and you look what he did for the people in the past. He will continue to do that for the people who meet his conditions, one of which is to ask in faith. Okay. because he says the one who doubts is tossed back and forth and he's not sure of anything. And that's where he lives. Okay. Psalm 27:14. Now this is back on some of the conditions that he has. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Sometimes we don't want to wait. Mm-hmm. And we have to wait. Okay. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So if you're living in sin, he's not going to hear your requests for wisdom. Okay, you can find out what your sin, you know, what you have. So it's really.
Look how long Abraham had to wait.
That's the kind of the waiting, and he said the Lord promised me a son, and I'm not getting it, so I'm gonna have take my. The maiden and have a son, and so yeah, we don't want to wait. Sometimes waiting does not come naturally. And James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." And one of the examples in our chapter was that you want to do really wonderful spiritual things so you can write a book about it. I don't think the Lord's going to answer that prayer. You know, so again, for wrong motives. So many there, you know, and there are, and it's not like God's checking things off in a box or anything like that, but he wants us to come to him on our knees and truly believing that he is the rewarder. He has the knowledge. He has what's best for us. He knows what's best for us and when to answer it in the best way. Okay. And when we leave it there. But we need to be persistent too. But again, I think that persistence in prayer changes my wanter instead of, changing, just saying the same thing over and over again. But those are some of the conditions, okay. But remember, nothing changes God. His promises, his purposes, his intentions for his people are the same, okay. He loves us, he has compassion for us, and so we can take the word of God and say, this is the living word, okay. What he says here is truth, and it does not change. Nothing invalidates God's promises. Not history, not philosophy, not science, not social changes. God's word is truth, always has been, is, and always will be. And remember, nothing changes God. So when we talk in terms of what God has done in the past, he will continue to do But we need to believe that that is what he will do. Okay. The Lord says, the Hebrew is, when you see the word Lord in scripture, and it's capitalized, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it means it's the translation of the Hebrew word for Jehovah or Yahweh. The English translations uses the all caps. This is the I am that I am of Exodus 3:14. In Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That is the great God Almighty. Okay. Other titles that are oftentimes used with Jehovah, and I'm just going to butcher them because I don't know how to say them. I don't know that. Okay. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And that was in Genesis. Well, this is a place where it's Jireh is J-I-R-E-H. J-I-R-E-H. Genesis 22:14, Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As he said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. And that's, you know, when you think of him going up to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac says, we have the fire and we have the wood. Where is the lamb? And he said, God will provide. Okay. So he is a provider. I just did a lesson on I am the bread of life, Christ in John said, I am the bread of life, that he provides for us, okay. Another one is Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, the Lord who heals you, Exodus 15:26, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Okay. Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I, the Lord our banner, Exodus 17:15, Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. Okay, that's Jehovah Shalom. We see that a lot. Shalom means peace. Okay, the Lord our peace. Judges 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Okay, but Lord is our peace. And you see, Shalom is a Hebrew word for peace. Okay. But when it's used with Jehovah, Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Okay. Jehovah Royal, R-O-H-I, the Lord our shepherd, Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay. And as a shepherd, he provides, he protects, he redeems. Okay. Jehovah Tsidkenu, T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U, this was in our book. The Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23:6. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Okay. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present here. Ezekiel 48:35. The city shall be 18,000 cubits round about, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Okay, so that's the Lord in the kingdom. The city, the Lord is there. And I remember when we went through Revelation and we found that we're going to live where God lives. He's going to be there with us. But he's here spiritually with us all the time anyway. Okay. We tend to forget that. Okay. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold from, Psalm 46:7. And then Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Leviticus 20:8. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Sanctify is to set apart, and we as believers have been set apart to him. Okay, that's who our God is. All of those things. So what did God do? Let's look at Isaiah 43. 11 through 17. And I forgot, there was a scripture, 1 Corinthians, on your outline. I forgot to have you look at that. And if someone has that, I missed it in my thing. But I wanted to just show you that in the beginning, when he did all the things for those things for Israel, he has done those things for us. Does someone have that?
Such were some of you that you were washed,
yeah,
that you were sanctified, that you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our Lord.
Okay. Actually, it's coming up. So he's done. Okay, so let's go to Isaiah 43, 11 through 17. And I can read that. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. We've talked about that over and over. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witness, this declared the Lord. And I am God, even from eternity. We talked about eternal. I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, into the ships in which they rejoice. They rejoiced in the fact that they had all these ships, and so they could beat anybody and everybody, and ships all went down. Okay. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty men, they will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. So then, as we see what he's done, who he is, how he acts, and we have been washed, we have been redeemed, we have been sanctified, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. The God of Israel is our God. Okay, his promises are good, eternal. What will he do? Let's read 43:19 through 22, and then we'll go back over those. Somebody have that? Isaiah 43:19 through 22. Okay, read it.
Isaiah 43:19 through 22. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. Yet you have not called me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel.
Okay. The whole of our studies from January 6th through April 27th is on faith. And Tozer has studied and meditated on Scripture to understand faith as the Bible presents it. Faith requires truly knowing our God and trusting him because of who he is. Many people know about God and say they believe in him without a commitment or truly understanding what faith means. Tozer says on page 117, the average evangelical church lies under a shadow of quiet doubting, a chronic unbelief that does not know what faith means. The churches lie around in a state of chronic unbelief. They do not expect God to do anything, or naturally he doesn't. He does not, okay? The voice of unbelief comes out of the psychology of non-expectation, and that's coming up in another study. Page 117 and 218. They don't go to God for answers, but to men. Is that familiar? Isaiah 43:22. We just read that. Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. They go to men, psychology, men's ideas, not to God. And many churches do that, okay? That's not faith, okay? What has happened to the supernatural? And that's what I wrote down. In my book on the sideline. What happened to supernatural? Okay, and then this is when I was reading it the first time. The next paragraph says, God does it supernaturally. Okay. God will do a new thing. God introduces the supernatural. In Isaiah 43:19 through 20, that is all supernatural. It's going to happen in the kingdom. And those are all, you know, he's going to make the mountains low, the valleys high, the, you know, everything. The world is going to be different. And I hadn't I did some reading, and I did not realize that the world really had no mountains and valleys and all those before the flood. Those are all, I'm thinking, oh, and so those, it's going to go back. Well, you know, we'll have a new earth and a new, you know. But it's, that's fascinating to think about, okay? But God can do that. He did it, and he can reverse it, okay? He was going to do a new thing, it said in that, a new thing. It's not new, it's new to us, not to him, okay? The voice of faith says, my God can. My God can. That's the voice of faith. I have lived to hear God say, I am that I am. You can't, but I can. You aren't, but I am. You are not able, but I am able. You have no wisdom, but I am Jehovah, and I have the wisdom. This is a quote from the chapter. We approach him through Jesus Christ, his son. Never forget that all the power of this great Jehovah, with his awful and awesome, glorious names, is channeled through the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to his people. This is not new to God, but it is to us. God has done this before, is doing it now, and will continue to be doing his marvelous works in the future. God is sufficient for all our needs in all aspects of our lives. That is the voice of faith, to believe that God can, and he will, and he does. Okay. And then I tried to read, I went online, I never did find it, because they want you to pay for it. I wasn't willing to pay. But anyway, that there's a song called Got Any Rivers You Think Are Uncrossable? Got Any Mountains You Can't Tunnel Through? God specializes in things thought impossible. There is nothing he cannot do. And that's not all of the words, but it's, I think of that a lot. And that's true. There's nothing that he cannot do. Zechariah 4:6 says, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So it's not by man's might, how strong we are. You know, we can lift weights for eternity and not be strong enough in our own, not by my power, but by the Lord's Spirit. Okay. The next chapter is we must hear worthily, and that is the fact that no one can understand God's truth, God's words, unless they have faith, unless they believe in their Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55:6-11 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter to which it was sent. But the hearer must have ears prepared to hear God's word, God's truth as it is, that is spiritual truth. Okay. Proverbs 1:24-25 says, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. That's the person that's in rebellion against God. He refuses to listen. His ears don't hear. But 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. And I think we sometimes forget that. Unbelievers cannot understand Scripture because they are spiritually appraised. God will speak to the hearts of those who prepare themselves to hear, and conversely, those who do not prepare themselves will hear nothing, even though the Word of God is falling upon their outer ears every Sunday. First, to hear worthily or listen worthily, you must be a believer in Jesus Christ. Second, you must grow in your faith. You must be walking close to the Lord. You must know him, really. And I thought of an example of being ready as a believer coming to church. And are you ready to listen to God's word? Sometimes the distractions, sometimes what you forgot to put in the oven, you know, those things we think, and so we're physically hearing, but we're not grasping the meaning of it to us. Or you come in with an attitude or whatever. And I can remember thinking that, you know, Saturday and Sunday were the days that I could sleep in a little bit. And so I would sleep in on Sunday and rush Jason to get him ready for school, to first come to church, and we would be arguing, and we'd be in the car, and I'd be mad at him, and he's mad at me. And I'm thinking, there's something wrong with this picture. We shouldn't be going to church angry at each other. The problem was me. I wanted to sleep in and as late as possible and then hurry up and get here. Well, when I got up and we had the time and I didn't rush Jason, we were fine. And our attitude, you know, so it's really, sometimes we blame other people. But again, we need to think of, are we ready to fellowship with other believers? Are we ready and have our hearts and our minds prepared to hear God's word when we come to church on Sunday morning? So it's not just the unbeliever. The unbeliever can't. We can. But we need to be prepared for that. Okay. We must be worthy hearers. And then laboring the obvious is the fact that we really must grow. We don't want to be hearing the same, not that hearing the basic gospel is ever just the same, in that, but we need to grow in that, in Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We must continue on the journey, grow closer to Christ, increase in godly living, and the process, which is the process of sanctification. Okay, this requires perseverance in study and prayer, thankfulness, and trusting in the Lord. Okay. Any questions? Or it's sometimes we think we believe, but then we're not truly trusting at all things. And I can handle the little things. I don't have to go to God with these things. We need to trust Him for everything. And give up our independence. He blesses that. He really, truly does. It makes life easier. Not that life is ever easy, and He never promised us an easy life, but He does help make it joyful. And so any questions or comments?
I have found what I'm going through right now, that you look at Scripture differently. You look...
A serious trial like this,
yes,
does help. It brings scripture to life, doesn't
it?
Yes,
uh-huh.
It brings scripture to life. It really does. And praise the Lord that you have the scripture that will help you.
I don't know what you would do without. It would be a mess.
You would be, yeah. And life is difficult and it's very difficult.
And we had a major answered prayer just this week. So.
Fantastic. Very, very good. So
we've been praying. I've been praying for a long time.
Not waiting.
Yes.
The Lord knows when we need, and then He needs to answer. And He has a talent. And that's what I'm, the Lord has plans for each of us and plans for joy. But we can have joy even in the difficult times because we know Him and we know He knows us. Okay. I'll close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise You for this time together, the study of Your word, the looking at who You are and how You care for us in all aspects of our lives, and that we can trust You in all ways. We know that life is difficult, and we know that You're there, that You never give us more than You have planned for us, and that You give us the strength and the wisdom as we ask to deal with the issues that we are facing, deal with the people that we're facing, and You love us and care for us. We just praise You for that, and we praise You for the faith to believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice, the death on the cross, for our penalty. And we praise you that when you see us, you see him. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.